according to the simple meaning of the words, he killed him. And then he realized what he did. So he davened to God, and God did Tchias HaMesim, and he lived. You know the story? So then the Gemara continues that the next year, he invited him again for the Purim Suda. He said, I'm not coming this year. He said, miracles like that don't happen every year. So, you see, last week was a miracle. I asked what the topic was. The guy told me the topic, and I had something to say. Laf kol shata etzrach shnisa. It's not going to happen every time. But still, let's try. What mitzvah would you like today?
Appointing Dayanav.
Appointing Dayanav? Is that in this week's parasha? Oh, it is in a way. It's really not here, though. It's really your mitzvah shavta. Tell me one. What do you want?
Lo tirtzach.
Really? Murder? What?
Don't steal.
Kidnap. What?
Kidnap. Steal. Steal.
Don't steal it?
Or kidnapping. Understand it.
No, because the truth is, if you tell me enough, I get one that I want to talk about. That's not fair. What was the first one? What did they say the first one? Appointing Dayanim. That's not fair, because now I have my choice. It's really not fair. Okay, we'll do Kibbutz. There's a mitzvah of the Torah, Kabed es avicha basimecha, in the Torah. So, the truth is, I have a question. I don't have a good answer. If anybody has a good answer, I would really like to listen to it. This is a mitzvah of the Torah, to honor your parents. I think it should be counted as two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to honor your father and a mitzvah to honor your mother. The Torah should be two separate mitzvahs. If a person, for whatever reason, is not good and doesn't honor his father but honors his mother, so he did wrong, but you don't think he's mekayem kibbutz? Let's say his father and his mother hate each other, they're divorced and they really hate each other, and his father says not to honor his mother, so the father's wrong, but let's say he honored his father, he listened to his father, he didn't honor his mother, he's wrong. I admit he's wrong, but you can say he's not mekayem kibbutz? So the answer could be a technical answer. The answer could be something that's technical, and you'd have to study this and go through a lot of chumash to study. Since the Torah said kabed, kabed might be one verb. So if there's one verb, you might say, well, it's you don't count mitzvahs unless there's a separate verb for each one, a separate don't. That might be true, but I really just want to point out that there really should be two mitzvahs, kibbutz and kibbutz. I've told this story before, and Yonatan, you remember the kibbutz story? Not yet. Good. The kibbutz story is when Rabbi Soloveitchik's father passed away in 1940 something or other, 41. And I told you this. And when his mother passed away, he said, I have to give the same share. Kibbutz and kibbutz were exactly the same. So, because I talked about it when I talked about kibbutz of a grandfather. I once talked about that. So kibbutz and kibbutz are two separate, I would think they're two separate mitzvahs. Included the pasuk kabed es avicha v'simecha, there's also a mitzvah honoring your older brother. The Gemara says it's in Ksubis. Some of you who are the oldest child all know this Gemara very, very well. The mitzvah, I have an older sister, so she wants to know if this halach applies to girls as well. But I wrote an article about this once. What?
What daffing two brothers on?
What daffing
service
is on?
Kav Gimel. Around. It's around Kav Gimel. Maybe Kav Beis, Kav Gimel. Around one of either or the other, I think. So Kabel es avicha v'simecha. So the Gemara says you have to honor your older brother. The Gemara there discusses honoring your stepfather, your stepmother, etc., etc. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs in Shorish Beis said that the Bahag counted mitzvahs to Rabbanan. He said he counted mitzvahs. I should be more careful. Just please erase that last sentence. The Bahag counted mitzvahs that are learned from ribuyim, something that are learned from extra words in the Torah. The Bahag counted them as mitzvahs. The Rambam says that he didn't do that. If it's not really clearly written in the Torah, he did not count it. So he said, but if the Bahag did count it, then he should have counted Everything gets done from a ribui. And here's an example. You should count kiburach. The mitzvah honoring your older brother, the Rambam says he should have counted as a separate mitzvah. Why didn't he count it? So the Ramban gives an answer. Does anybody know the Ramban's answer offhand? The Ramban's answer is because it's true there's a mitzvah to honor your older brother. But that's not a mitzvah, per se. It's part of the mitzvah of honoring your father. Parents want you to listen to your older children. The older children in the family should be role models. The parents sometimes put them in charge, you know, like some of you, if you're the youngest in the family. So you really could remember maybe that your older brother was a babysitter or something like that. And your parents want you to listen to him. So the Ramban says the mitzvah of honoring your older brother is a mitzvah, but it's not count the minyan of mitzvahs because it's not a separate mitzvah. So you see from here a machlokes that's really, really difficult to find from another source. But this is the source. What kind of mitzvah is to honor your older brother? Is it part of kibarach, av, or not? According to the Rambam, it's not. Because he said, you should have counted it. And he didn't like the reason that the Bahag gave, that the Ramban gave, that he didn't count because it's a separate mitzvah. It's part of the other mitzvah. So the Rambam thought kibud achiv ha-gadol is a separate mitzvah saseh. I don't count it because it's learned from a ribui. The Ramban says, no. What would be the difference, the practical difference between the Ramban and the Rambam? What would be the practical difference? Who said it? Correct. That would be one major distinction. Rams, if your father, Rahman al-Islam, passed away, you have to honor your older brother. If you hold that it's a mitzvah per se, then it has nothing to do with your father. If you hold it's a mitzvah because your father, that's what your father wanted, then your father's passed away, so there's no such mitzvah. If we have a few minutes, I'll talk about this idea of honoring your father once he's passed away anyway. The truth is, there's something that I love to explain to people. And you mentioned kibudav. I want to point out an important. The Torah says in Va'eschanan, Kabedes avicha vasimecha kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokech. We know there are minor differences between the Ten Commandments, Aseres Adibros in Yisrael, and the Ten Commandments in Va'eschanan. Good. But this is one of the minor differences. Kabedes avicha vasimecha kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokech. What does it mean, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokech? Translation? Where did he command? What did he command? So, some people think, I commanded you in Yisrael. That can't be. Because the Torah is, Aseres Adibros were not given twice. They were given once. Why? There are minor differences. Look in the Ibn Ezra in this week's parasha. But it's not that God said, I'm giving you Aseres Adibros like I once gave you. It's not true. So what is Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha? Does anybody know? Say it out loud. You can say it about anything in the word. Somebody answered. I just heard. Who said? I heard somebody give an answer. Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Rashi in Chumash says that we were given the mitzvah of Kibbutz in Mara. In Mara we were given a few mitzvahs. But what are the mitzvahs we were given in Mara? Sham Samlo, Chok U'Mishkan. So what are the mitzvahs that we were given in Mara? We were given Dinim, and we were given Paraduma. Why do you think Paraduma? That's the Chok. Why Dinim? That's the Mishpah. Why Kibbutz Lain? And it doesn't seem to be included in Chok U'Mishpat. It just seems to be included because Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. So I happened to mention this to Rav Lichtenstein on Friday night because my son spoke. We had a family bas mitzvah, so my son spoke and he talked about the connection about Kibbud Av Va'Em and other things. So he mentioned something Rav Mital talked about Kibbud Av Va'Em and Kasha, and that we were commanded in Mara. And I pointed out the connection between I think I'm not the first person who did this. I must have read it out anyway. The connection between Tepara Aduma and Kibbutz Avayim is a very strong connection. Where do you know any connection from? The story of Dama ben Nesina. And the story of Dama ben Nesina, of course, as you remember, Dama ben Nesina didn't want to bother his father and he lost money because of it. And HaKadosh Baruch rewarded him that he gave him a Parah Aduma. This Gemara says that a good guy will keep it avayim. That's a topic that I'm not ready now to talk about. Is a guy commanding Kibbutz Avayim? It's a very interesting topic. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs. But Dama ben Nesina did keep, and somehow the reward for that is Parah Aduma. You know, what's the connection? So I'll explain to you the connection. A guy will keep a mitzvah because he understands it completely. Kibbutz Avayim is the most logical mitzvah that you can imagine. With rare exceptions. Generally, your parents took care of you. Your parents worried about you. Not only did they bring you physically to the world, but they nurtured you, they supported you. Some of your parents might even support you still. According to Din, you know your parents don't have to give you a penny anymore. You really guys could all go to work. But look how much your parents do for you and everything that they do in the world for you. So it's priyaschav. It's just a little gratitude. Hakaras hatov. That's why it could be a guy should be chayev also. It's just midos. It's not a mitzvah that you should make up. So a guy will do that. Would a guy do Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma, why would he bother with Parah Aduma? It seems strange to him. Why would he do it? But I want to show you something. You gave up your money for Kibbutz Avayim. Look how much Jews are willing to pay for Parah Aduma. Our chok is a real chok. We don't just have mishpat. So the connection between Kibbutz Avayim and Parah Aduma might be to show a contrast between one and the other. Be that as it may, that's what Rashi says. Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you, in Mara, Kibbutz Avayim, that's what it means here. But I'd like to tell you a Ramban in this week's parsha. For those people that listen to me, whatever I do, whatever I say now, look it up in the Ramban for yourself. It's a beautiful, beautiful Ramban. Kabeiras avicha vesimecha kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. The Ramban says that we all knew this before. The first part, we all knew this before. The first part is that there are three partners in a man. Man, mother, father, and God. So in that respect, when you honor your parents, God's a partner. It's connected to a covenant, a makam covenant, hushvu l'chvadam, everything else. But this part you might not know. That part you did know. The Ramban says, what is the kavod that you owe your parents, that you have to do for your parents? The way God commanded you to honor him. Now how did God honor you, tell you to honor him? Let's go step by step. What's the first part of Aseres HaDibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivcha Mitzvotayim. Recognize God, acknowledge him, he is my God. You ever see little kids when they're really angry at the parents, what do they say? You're not my daddy, you're not my father, you're not my mother. You ever hear such a thing? Never? Oh, I did. I probably said it. But whatever. But acknowledging your parents, recognize them as your parents, not saying I'm one estrange my to remove yourself from your parents. That's the first part of Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. What's part number two? Lo yelech Elohim Achayim Apanai. There's only one father and one mother. Halachic issue. Halachic issue. And I'm not joking. Are you allowed to call somebody else father besides your father? Sometimes we say he's like a father to me. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to say I have two fathers? Read the Ramban in this week's parsha again. Lo yelech Elohim Achayim. There's one father. I have a halachic question. Who are you allowed to call father? Like people call their outlaws, in-laws. They call their dad. You know, whatever you call them. I'm not saying it's wrong. It might be 100% right. I'm just saying you should think about it. Is that included? Why is it not included? Why is it yes included? The Ramban says you should not call people besides your parents. You should not recognize them as parents. Who are you for sure allowed to call your father besides your Rebbe? And how do I know that? Well, we discussed this, the opposite case. So if my talmidim are banim, so then I'm their father, right? But there's a, what's the source in Tanakh? Say? Say the words. Right. Avi, Avi, Rechev, Yisrael, Ufarasha. Elisha saw Eliyahu, Avi, Avi, we know from here. I was waiting for the people, I remember so distinctly when the Rav was Nifter, so Rav Lichtenstein was Masvidim in Yerushalayim. You were there? The Rav Lichtenstein was Masvidim in Yerushalayim, and the last words, I was sitting next to Rav Dick, and we were wondering the whole time, what is he going to do it? The last words, Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael. That's the way he ended the Hasbid. I don't know if it's printed that way, I don't know if it's in the words. Avi, Avi. To call your Rebbe, Avi is mutter. To call other people Avi is an interesting halachic shayu. What happens if your father's name is Abba? You guys are chutznikim. You have no problem. You call him tati, daddy, father. You can call whatever you want. But you should know it's halachic shayu. The Chida raised this question. If you look in the Chida, there's a little book called Shema Gdolim. In the book Shema Gdolim, he has names of Gdol Yisrael. And he tells you a little bit about them. It's a little bit like a little encyclopedic work about people who wrote Sfarim. Shema Gdolim. So you look at the beginning, is Abba. It was one of the first names. He has there Shaila, if you're allowed to call your father Abba, if his name is Abba. Whose name was Abba in the Gemara?
Abba
Shaul. You guys are blitzing Bakias. Good. A number. You ever think of Rava? Rava might be Rav Abba. And it was shortened to Rava. But otherwise, Abba Koin Baidala. You said, oh, there, I can. But anyway, you're allowed to call your father Abba. Let's go continue with. Yeah, we have a few more minutes. So we were talking about Kibud Av, and I said that Kibud Av is a Kashar Sivcha Hashem Alakacha. Anolchi Lo Yelacha. What's the third one? Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Lashav. Now, I don't want to be vulgar, but to curse by your parents, using your parents' names. I think that there is a certain curse words in America that use mothers' names and things like that. Or people say, I swear by my mother, or something like that. You know, according to Ramban, that's asana daraisa. It's not just a regular. Lo sisa shem hashem lecha lasha. Included in this halacha could very well be kashet sivcha shem lekacha. We don't take God's name in vain. You're allowed to call your parents by their name? I think it's mamash asra alpidin. I think it's mamash asra alpidin. There are people who like whatever their generation, they like to be called by their first name. And there are parents today that tell their kids to call them by their first name. I don't know if anybody here would be included in such a world. Your in-laws, sometimes that's going to happen. There are in-laws that will tell you, we want to be called my mechutanim. The grandchildren call them mom and dad. They feel much younger that way. Because instead of calling the old bubba, the old zeta, this is mom and dad. They feel much better. So, you know, they don't mind if you call them by their first name. I'm not so sure it's mutter apidin, even if they give you permission. So that's the Ramban kasha tzivcha shem alakacha. What else do we learn from here according to Ramban? That part's not the Ramban, that's a Gemara. Do you have to spend money for kibud av? It's a controversy in the Gemara. It's a machlokas in the Gemara if you have to spend money in kibud av. So one says, do you have to spend money for kibud Hashem? Certain mitzvahs you have to spend money for. Kaveda Hashem. May. Good. Where's the pasuk? How do you know it? What? It's a pasuk in Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara has a discussion. I think it's Daf Lamed Beis. Gemara has a discussion if you have to honor, if to spend money for kibud av. And the Gemara brings the cards of pasuk. And all you have to do is look at the side of the Gemara. They'll tell you where the pasuk is. Kavedas, if you would ask me, you know, really, I would tell you, I know for sure it's a pasuk in Tanakh. I'm sure of that. But you have to, we pass and you don't have to spend money for kibud av. You don't have to spend money at all for kibud av. Reb Chaim lived in Brisk. And there was a person in Brisk whose father lived in Vilna. And the father asked his son to come visit him. So the man went to Reb Chaim and asked him, can I ask my father for the money, for the fare? He wants me to visit him. Okay, I know I have to go, but do I have to spend money? So Reb Chaim said, no, you don't have to spend money, you should work. He said, it's to your convenience. You want to take a plane, take a train, you want to go, that's your problem. If your father told you to see him, you should work. That story is printed in Rav Zevin's book, Ish and Meshitas. If your father told you to be there in an hour, I think you really could ask him for your... The Gemara says, how do you explain, what is the real definition of Kibbutz Avayim? The Gemara says, the real definition of Kibbutz Avayim is Machileu, Mashkeu, Machniso, Motsiyo. You have to give him to eat, to drink, help him get dressed, take him in, take him out. What do they all have in common? Physical service for your father. That is the real halachic definition of Kibbutz Avayim. That's the real definition of Kibbutz Avayim. I have a large discussion. I wanted to say something about this parasha because originally I promised I'd say something about the parasha besides a mitzvah. So I really chose something I want to talk about. But I really have a personal issue. My father told me to take a walk. Do I have to listen to him? I don't think so. I don't think that's included in Kibbutz Avayim. I think the halachic parameters of Kibbutz Avayim, Machila Mashkeya. That's why I never understood, is there Kibbutz Avayim after death? I said before I'd go back to this, is there Kibbutz Avayim after death? Can you do any personal service for your father after death? If you're a real mystic, you could say yes. Because by saying Kaddish, maybe you raise him, I don't know, maybe you... I don't know. I know that there's a legend like that, right? The story of Rabbi Akiva, people, one day maybe I'll talk about Kaddish. I have a whole thing about the Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, that a man came to him, Rabbi Akiva said, the only way to help your father is by saying Kaddish. I don't know, that's real mysticism to me. But otherwise, I don't think Kibbutz Avayim after death. The Gemara says Kibbutz Avayim after death, I never understood it. The Gemara says, what's Kibbutz Avayim after in life? Machileu, Mashkeu, Matziah. What's Kibbutz Avayim after death? The Gemara says, when a person dies, you say, Hareni Kaparas Mishkava, Zechron Elechayel Amaba, etc., etc. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand why that's Kibbutz Avayim. I don't understand it. Is that really Kibbutz Avayim? I have real trouble with it. I once asked Rabbi Baron Soloveitchik, we were learning about Matziah, and the Gemara said that if your father left you money, that he took beribis. Your father was a loan shark, and he lent somebody $1,000, got back $1,500. It's good. And then you inherited $1,500. It's yours. You're supposed to return the $500 because of Kibbutz Avayim. So I asked the Baron, first of all, it's your money. You don't have to pay anything. It's your money. Number two, it's after death. Why is it Kibbutz Avayim? So Baron, the way he used to talk, and the difference between him and me is you'll soon find out, if you didn't know already. I asked him this question, and he looked at me, that is a very good question. In order to answer that question, I will have to resort to a tshuva of the Rashba. And he says, there's a tshuva of, the truth is I made up the Rashba, because I don't remember what the tshuva is. I'll resort to a tshuva, I think it's tshuva Elef Shvameyos Arbaim the Chamesh Shesh, I'm not sure. So when he said Chamesh Shesh, you know, we started laughing. See, got very upset. I'm really not sure. Why are you laughing at me? I'm not off by much. I'm really sorry. I don't remember where the tshuva is, and I don't know what the tshuva was. I don't remember the answer. But it really bothers me. Kibbutz Avayim after death, I don't understand it at all. So there's a Chazon Ish that I found much later. The Chazon Ish says that the halakhic parameters are exactly what the Gemara said. But besides the exact halachic parameters, there's a concept that he calls, well, Rav Asher Weiss made a big fuss about it. I know this Chazon Ish because I saw it quoted by Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss writes about Ratzon HaTorah. There are things that Torah did not demand of you, did not say you have to do, but it's the wish of the Torah, the idea of the Torah. It's a very difficult concept, and obviously I don't have time to talk about it now. Ratzon HaTorah. So he says, Ratzon HaTorah is that you do listen to your parents about whatever they tell you to do, unless it really hurts you, unless it's not good for you. But otherwise, that's Ratzon HaTorah, but it's not the real halachic parameters. So I could discuss Kibbutz Avayim from now a lot longer, but I did discuss a few salient points. One was Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Alakacha. I also said Kibbutav and Kibbutayim, two mitzvahs to one mitzvah. I also talked about the exact parameters of Kibbutav V'aim, as well as I understand them, including the problem that I did. And now I'd like to talk about another Ramban in this week's parasha. Stop. For the people that fell asleep, don't know what I'm talking about, your neighbor can wake you up now, because we're starting a new topic. So if you didn't understand what I'm talking about now, just wake him up. The real tzaddikim are going to go wash negovasi. No, it's all right. In this week's parasha, there's an interesting argument between Yisrael and his father-in-law. His son-in-law. Yisrael said to Moshe, why are you sitting here by yourself? Everybody's, you know, is waiting for you all day. Look how busy you are. And his answer was, did I ever talk about this before? No? Ki yavo ilai ha'am lidrosh alokim, ki yelem davar ba ilai, v'shafatati b'nisha v'en re'eyu, v'odati yaskukei alokim b'starasa. Now, again, I'm going to quote a Ramban, and I'd like you to look up the Ramban, because I'm going to say more than the Ramban said. I think it's all in the Ramban, but I'm going to say more. Moshe, Yisro said to Moshe, you are terribly busy, and you're making people wait for you. And Moshe's answer was, I have a lot of different hats to wear. I'm a very busy person. I have many responsibilities. I'm going to specifically talk about at least three of them. Ki yavo elai ha'am nidrosh alokim. Ki yelem davar ba'elai. I'm sorry, four. Ki yavo elai ha'am nidrosh alokim. Ki yelem davar ba'elai. V'shafatati b'nisha b'en re'ayu. V'odati eschukei alokim b'estarasa. Four different jobs. What are the four different jobs? To Gush guys, I'm going to do this in less than 5 minutes. Truthfully, it's a great sicha for at least 20 minutes. At least. For the Rosh Hashiva, 45 minutes. For me, 20 minutes. Ki elam davar ba'elai, ki avoy elam l'drosh elokim, they want me to be an intermediary between me and God. Between them and God. Somebody's sick in the family, they come to me and ask me to daven for him. They want to know what God says, what God thinks, they come to me. That's the first point. How, again, Chumash, ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh elokim. They come to me because I'm a Hasidish Rebbe, and they want me to intercede for them. Ki yelohem davar ba'elai means they want to talk about their cow, they come to me. Ki yelohem davar ba'elai. They have an issue. They want to talk. What do they want to talk about? I don't know. It doesn't even sound important. Ki yelohem davar ba'elai. They have an issue. Ba'elai. Three. I'm a judge. Part of my job is to sit in court. Fourth, translate. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I give shir. Moshe said I wear four different hats. I'm a Hasidic Shirebbe. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I'm a judge. And I'm an intermediary, a Navi. I really believe, that Moshe said this in a very unhappy manner. Moshe, I've discussed, because I really have a long discussion about this that I believe in completely. That's my understanding of the world. Moshe really said that I am a good Rosh Hashiva. I'm a Talmid Chacham. I mean, he won't put it in such, you know, blatant words, but he understood that he's, you know, Mekabel Torah, and his job is to transmit Torah. Not every person who transmits Torah wants to be a Rebbe, a Hasidic Rebbe. He wants to give shir. There are certain people whose image in Judaism has always been the people that give shir. Their friendliness? I don't know. Their charismatic personality? I don't know. Their charm? I don't know. To me, one of the greatest examples of this was the Vilna Gaon. How many students did Vilna Gaon have? Hardly any. What yeshiva did he teach in? None. What city was the Rav of? None. What did he do? He sat in his room, closed the doors, locked the windows, and sat and learned. Reb Chaim Balashner was a very close Talmud of his. His son wrote how close he was, that he came once in a while to visit his Rebbe to ask him a bunch of questions, and he was shivering. He was so scared to walk into that room. He said he wrote there, his teeth are clattering against each other. The Vilna Gaon was not a charming personality. At least we don't know that he was. There could be a Rosh Yeshiva like that. There could be a Chassidish Rebbe who's almost the opposite. Chassidish Rebbe is very charming, charismatic, wonderful person, really, really empathetic and sympathetic and caring and good advice and everything else, but not necessarily a big Talmud Chacham. I don't know if this is true or not, but that's what people said about the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov certainly was charming and charismatic and sympathetic and empathetic and everything I said before. Did he know how to learn? I don't know. The Misnagdim claim no. Chassidim say yes. I don't know. How would I know if somebody knows how to learn? They said a shir. They wrote a sefer. Don't have it. Don't know. A judge. A judge is a full-time job. And to talk about your cow? You do know what I'm talking about when I said they came to Moshe. You don't know?
Yeah.
Those people that don't know, make sure you go to somebody in this room who does know. What it means to talk about the... You really don't know? Would you give shir about the cow afterwards? Who's going to talk about the cow? Come on, Benji, you know about the cow. You don't know about the cow. How many people do know about the cow? Raise your hand. Oh my. Quickly, I have no time. The Rav Amital always told the story. It's one of the most famous stories of Rav Amital. That and the baby crying. Don't tell me you don't know the baby crying. But the cow is a story that a certain Hasidic Rebbe came to town. One person after another came to talk to him. So the first person came to talk to him about problems that he had with Shalom Bayis, his wife, and he didn't get along. He wanted the Rebbe's advice. The Rebbe spoke to him for a while. Second person came in and said he has problems with chinuch of his child. His child's not going on the derech. What does he do? So he gave him some advice. The third guy came and explained his parnassus is problematic. He doesn't know what to do. The Rebbe gave him advice. The next guy comes and says he has a problem with davening. He doesn't have enough kavanah. The Rebbe gave him advice. The fourth guy came and said, Rebbe, my cow doesn't feel up. And the Rebbe's talking about what does he eat and this and that. And, when he left, the shamish turned to the Rebbe and said, what are you, out of your mind? He even put it that way because he's still a Hasidic Rebbe. He said, why are you wasting time talking about the guy's cow? We have big issues here. He says, the guy didn't care about it. It's not the cow. He didn't want to talk to me about his cow. He came because he wanted a connection with me. He wanted to talk to me, but he's a very simple Jew. He has nothing to talk about. He doesn't know what's, he doesn't know how to ask a shayli. He has no kashas. He has nothing. He just wants to talk to me. Do you ever go in a car with a chash Rosh Hashiva and you don't have a kasha to ask? So you keep there and you shut up. You don't say a word. You're scared. Talk to him about whatever you want to talk about. I've been in the car with a person who asked Rev Lichtenstein and say, what do you thought of the Los Angeles Lakers? I was in the car. And the guy asked him, the Lakers played the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Rev Lichtenstein was in Cleveland that night. The guy didn't go to the shir because he went to the Cleveland game. So he starts telling Rev Lichtenstein about the Cleveland game. So... I'm not going to go into it. The Rebbe, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu claimed. So guys, what is a Rav? Is Moshe right or wrong? So I said, the Musar of this whole thing is the Moshe should understand that to be a Rosh Yeshiva is not enough. A Rosh Yeshiva does have to do all the above. A Rosh Yeshiva has to understand that he's got to be to answer all those responsibilities. So, am I giving Musar to the students or to the Rebbe? To the students. And to the Rebbe. But why to the students also? Because Moshe wouldn't have done it if the people didn't come to him. If the people didn't ask Moshe, nothing would have happened. Moshe would have just been what he wanted to do. But ki yavo elai ha'am, the people come. There are sometimes in this yeshiva where people say that they're not that close to the Rebbe. You know what? Think about it. Make an effort and see what happens. Try. You go to him, because that's the message of this parsha. The message to the Rosh Yeshiva, that we'll talk about to the Raman, the Rosh Yeshiva. But the message to Talmidim is, go ahead and do it. I doubt very much whether there's a Talmud in this yeshiva that can really tell me that he approached and didn't get anything. Like, you know, I'm going to make two public announcements. One public announcement, guys want to learn with me? All you do is get in touch and I try to learn with you if you have time to learn with you. I'm obviously not going to be able to learn with everybody in the world. I'm not going to learn whatever you want. But I tell people, you want to learn, come. I'm not saying regular shiur. That's a public announcement. Again, the public announcement. Public announcement number two is mamish, something that people know me for many years. I've never done in the yeshiva before. I'm going to make a little bit of an appeal. I have a very close friend, someone I know well, who unfortunately is not doing very well financially. And it's their child, their boy, 15 years old, just lost his tefillin. He didn't lose it. Somebody stole his tefillin. It was stolen. And they need money to buy tefillin. So I wanted to ask if the guys who were here would be willing or help, be able to help a little bit to have this fellow buy tefillin.
How much does it cost?
I'm sorry? Tefillin altogether, I don't know, with two, how, does anybody know how much tefillin costs?
$500,000.
$500,000 probably. $500,000, no, probably a little bit more. I don't know exactly.
Depends on how.
But if you can, so Yonatan, if people would give you money, it would be helpful. Anyway, I don't usually do that. Thank you very much. Yeah.